This is the Celt Father, Mark Gunn, and you're listening to the Secret Fire Podcast.
Gandalf, my old friend, this will be a night to remember.
Broadcasting from the last homely house in Rivendell, Middle-earth, this is the Secret Fire Podcast, sent to burn at the heart of the world, episode number 26. I'm Michael.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Micah.
On this episode, Gandalf recounts his adventures from the Shire to the pinnacle of Orthanc, to the halls of King Theoden, to the Prancing Pony, to Weathertop, to Imladris. Whew! And we invite you to come along, join the fellowship, become a servant of the Secret Fire, each week here on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
You really think we're going to get that far?
We better. We better. Mike, it's still your birthday.
Hey.
It is still October 25th, Third Age 3018, although the real October 5th was last week. And Micah, happy birthday.
Thank you.
He's 18 years old now. You know, I wrangled Micah into doing a podcast with me. I brought him in late into the show on Middle Earth Minutes when he was 11 years old. Just went to him one day and said, son, you're going to be on my podcast now. And so that was a long time ago, almost 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 6.5 or so years of podcasting, Middle Earth. And we had a great conversation last week. Oh, by the way, Brendan, happy birthday to you, because this episode, the podcast, is released on October 31st, Third Age 3018. No. Of this year, the year of our Lord, 2017.
Oh, there you go.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Are you having a good birthday?
Yeah, so far. I'm probably at school with the kids. I tried to get a Tom Bombadil costume in order, and it didn't happen this year.
Oh.
But I've got my leads in for next year, so I'll be looking forward to that.
Now, I don't know if we'll see Tom Bombadil here anywhere in the near future, here on October 25th, Third Age 3018, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm just hoping we can get through Gandalf's adventures. There's
a lot of stuff to talk
about. Hey, any addendums, afterthoughts, or anything from the last episode?
Not from me.
Micah? No, I do. I have a real quick one, because I had mentioned that when we are talking about these questions that Galdor has, hey, this is all fine and well. We're hearing from Gimli, and we're hearing from Frodo, and from Bilbo, and we're hearing from Elrond. All this story compiling about the One Ring, or the supposed One Ring, if that is what this actually is. Where is Saruman in all of this? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the testimony of one sounds great until another one comes and examines him. He wants Saruman, who is supposedly wise in the lore of the rings, to come and to cross-examine, to give the information that he has, right? And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I was writing up the blog post for this, guys, last week, for this the past episode, episode number 25, I was reminded of John chapter 5, verses 31 through 39. And I want to read out of the NET. And let's listen to what Jesus Christ says. He says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies about me, and I know the testimony he testifies about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. I do not accept human testimony, but I say this so that you may be saved. He was a lamp that was burning and shining, and you wanted to rejoice greatly for a short time in his light. But I have a testimony greater than that from John. For the deeds that the Father has assigned to me to complete, the deeds I am now doing testify about me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified about me. You people have never heard his voice nor seen his form at any time, nor do you have his word residing in you because you do not believe the one whom he sent. You study the scriptures thoroughly because you think in them you possess eternal life. And it is these same scriptures that testify about me. What was said to Galdor? One would think that the evidence already given would be sufficient,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there were three evidences at least that we gave. And in this passage, and I read out of the New English Translation, in this passage from John chapter 5 through 5:31 through 39, Jesus gives three evidences that testify mm-hmm. as to his identity. John the Baptist, the very works that he was doing in their midst, and the law and the prophets, God speaking through the prophets, testifying about this one. And it's in those very, the law and prophets, he's saying to them, you study the scriptures thoroughly because you think in them you possess eternal life. And it is these same scriptures that testify about me. There's enough evidence is given, is what Jesus is saying, which is what was told to Galdor. So I just found that interesting, and that's a good little tool that you can use. So I threw that in for free. Guys, where did we leave off?
Well, we left off with Legolas. Just finishing his account of how the elves of Mirkwood had lost Gollum.
Oh, boy. He was put in their care. And what did Aragorn say? How did this happen?
How did this happen?
How did your trust? How was your trust? So, yes.
Michael, do we have pizza?
Yes, I do have pizza. Let me start up some pizza here, and we will deduct 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay? And so go ahead. For listeners out there, pizza is our stopwatch, our timer, so that we can keep track of how long we are running on this episode here.
Hey, there you go. So just to backtrack a little bit, I'm on page 287 of my Del Rey Ballantine Books paperback edition. You guys are in the one volume.
Yes. We're around
257.
255, I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
There you go. We have failed to capture Gollum. We came on his trail among those of many orcs, and it plunged deep into the forest, going south. But ere long, it escaped our skill, and we dared not continue the hunt, for we were drawing nigh to Dol Guldur. And that is still a very evil place. We do not go that way. Well, he is gone, said Gandalf. We have no time to seek for him again. He must do what he will. But he may play a part that neither he nor Sauron have foreseen.
Yes, a little prophecy there.
And now I will answer Galdor's other questions. And what of Saruman? What are his counsels to us in this need? This tale I must tell you in full, for only Elrond has heard it yet, and that in brief. But it will bear on all that we must resolve. It is the last chapter in the tale of the ring, so far as it has yet gone.
So he is going to bring us up right to the very present moment.
Yep.
This is great. We're... Chapter 2 of Book 2, and he is going to just fill in all of the mystery from the very beginning of this story.
And what have we heard about Saruman so far?
He's wise in the lore of the rings.
Is that all? Like, he's... Because other characters have talked about him, like what he may have been doing or what he has done in the past, right?
Let's just continue on and see if we find any in this exposition.
Gandalf picks the story up here. At the end of June, I was in the Shire, but a cloud of anxiety was on my mind. And I rode to the southern borders of the Little Land, for I had a foreboding of some danger, still hidden from me, but drawing near. There messages reached me, telling me of war and defeat in Gondor.
Which is what Boromir spoke of first when it was mm-hmm. his turn. This is what's going on. How many days did he say he had been traveling to find this hidden valley of Imladris? 100 and something days. Mm-hmm. Right. So everything is just it's just tying up. Here we go. I just love this. We got flashbacks, flash forward, sideways. This is like Lost.
This is Lost. Yes. This is Lost. And our job is to not get lost.
Yes. Our job as your hosts of the Fellowship is to try and not get lost.
Well, there you go. And when I heard of the Black Shadow, a chill smote my heart. But I found nothing save a few fugitives from the south. Yet it seemed to me that on them sat a fear of which they would not speak. I turned then east and north and journeyed along the greenway. And not far from Bree, I came upon a traveler sitting on a bank beside the road with his grazing horse beside him. It was Radagast the Browned. It was Radagast.
Browned.
The Browned
on both sides.
Oh, no.
And then put in the oven at 350 for... Oh, sorry.
Get out of here. He is not a pot roast.
He's cube steak. Radagast the Cube. Cubed.
Michael.
I'm sorry.
It was Radagast the Brown. Who at one time dwelt at Rosgabel.
Rosgabel rabbits. I'd like to see him try.
Near the borders of Mirkwood. He is one of my order, but I had not seen him for many a year. Gandalf, he cried. I was seeking you, but I am a stranger in these parts. All I knew was that you might be found in a wild region with the uncouth name of the Shire.
I love that.
Yeah. Your information was correct, I said. But do not put it that way. If you meet any of the inhabitants, you are near the borders of the Shire now.
It's like, hey, keep it down.
Hey, don't let them hear you talking about
this. Yes. They're right over there.
Yeah. And what do you want with me? It must be pressing. You were never a traveler unless driven by great need. I have an urgent errand, he said. My news is evil. And then he looked about him as if the hedges might have ears. Nazgul, he whispered. The Nine are abroad again. They have crossed the river secretly and are moving westward. They have taken the guise of riders in black. I knew then what I had dreaded without knowing it. The enemy must have some great need or purpose, said Radagast. But what is it? But what it is makes him look to these distant and desolate parts, I cannot guess. What do you mean, said I? I have been told that wherever they go, the riders ask for news of a land called Shire. The Shire, I said. But my heart sank, for even the wise might fear, to withstand the Nine when they are gathered together under their fell chieftain. A great king and sorcerer he was of old, and now he wields a deadly fear. Who told you, and who sent you? I asked. Saruman the White, answered Radagast, and he told me to say that if you feel the need, he will help you, but you must seek his aid at once, or it will be too late. And that message brought me hope, for Saruman the White is the greatest of my order. Radagast is, of course, a worthy wizard, a master of shapes and changes of hue, and he has much lore of herbs and beasts and birds, are especially his friends. But Saruman has long studied the arts of the enemy himself.
Oh!
And thus we have often been able to forestall him. It was by the devices of Saruman that we drove him from Dol Guldur. It might be that he has found some weapons that would drive back the Nine. I will go to Saruman, I said. Then you must go now, said Radagast, for I have wasted time in looking for you, and the days are running short. I was told to find you before midsummer, and that is now here. Even if you set out from this spot, you will hardly reach him before the Nine discover the land that they seek. I myself shall turn back at once. And with that, he mounted and would have ridden straight off.
Okay. So first of all, big key text there.
Yeah.
But Saruman has long studied the arts of the enemy himself, and thus we have often been able to forestall him.
In other words, he's saying, because Saruman has long studied these arts of the enemy, because he's done that, we have been able to
forestall the enemy.
Forestall the enemy, yeah.
Correct. And it was by the devices of Saruman that we drove him from Dol Guldur. So let's remember that as we move forward in this narrative. I also like when he's talking about, he says, the Shire, I said, but my heart sank, for even the wise might fear to withstand the Nine when they are gathered together under their fell chieftain. A great king and sorcerer he was of old, and now he wields a deadly fear. Those two things actually, they actually are related. Saruman has long studied the arts of the enemy himself. And then here is this king, the leader of the Nine, a great king and sorcerer he was of old. And now he wields a deadly fear.
All right. Well, stay a moment, I said. We shall need your help, and the help of all things that will give it. Send out messages to all the beasts and birds that are in your friend that are your friends. Tell them to bring news of anything that bears on this matter to Saruman and Gandalf. Let messages be sent to Orthanc. I will do that, he said, and rode off as if the Nine were after him. I could not follow him then and there. I had ridden very far already that day, and I was weary as my horse. I needed to consider matters. I stayed the night in Bree and decided that I had no time to return to the Shire. Never did I make a greater mistake. Elijah Clement.
Hey! Yet another.
Mm-hmm. However, I wrote a message to Frodo and trusted to my friend the innkeeper to send it to him. I rode away at dawn, and I came at long last to the dwelling of Saruman, that is far south in Isengard, in the end of the Misty Mountains, not far from the Gap of Rohan. And Boromir will tell you that this is a great open vale that lies between the Misty Mountains and the northmost foothills of
Arid Nimraeus. What do you think, Micah?
I'd say so, yeah.
The White Mountains of his home. But Isengard is a circle of sheer rocks that enclose a valley as with a wall. And in the midst of that valley is a tower of stone called Orthanc. It was not made by Saruman, but by the men of Numenor long ago. And it is very tall and has many secrets. Yet it looks not to be a work of craft. It cannot be reached save by passing the circle of Isengard. And in that circle, there is only one gate. Late one evening, I came to that gate, came to the gate, like a great arch in the wall of rock. And it was strongly guarded. But the keepers of the gate were on the watch for me and told me that Saruman awaited me. I rode under the arch, and the gate closed silently behind me. And suddenly, I was afraid, though I knew no reason for it. I think that says a lot. Because we know how Gandalf is, and we know how he handles fear.
Well, again, he's a servant of the secret fire.
Exactly, you know, exactly.
And if your dark fire will not avail you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I can just imagine the clink of the gate.
Yes.
And then
there's a foreboding.
Yeah, and there then is. Just sending that chill.
That's good for Halloween.
It is. you know, because as we... Michael, as we talked about in the episode of Finding Christ in Cinema that we just recorded, talking about Halloween.
1978, Halloween.
Yes, yes.
John Carpenter's classic.
Whenever we see characters fear, we are drawn in because we automatically feel sympathy for them. So seeing Gandalf fear, he says, earlier he said, a chill smote my heart. And then here he says... And the gate closed silently behind me, and suddenly I was afraid, though I knew no reason for it.
Yes.
So we're being drawn in even more.
It's drama. It's dramatic. It's tension.
It's intrigue.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, here we go. But I rode to the foot of Orthanc and came to the stair of Saruman. And there he met me and led me up to his high chamber. He wore a ring on his finger.
Why would that be there?
Oh, man.
Why did Tolkien write that there?
Woo!
You know?
Are you asking realistically?
Oh, well, let's see. Where is Saruman in all of this? Mm-hmm. He is said to be wise in the lore of the rings. Mm. But wait a second. What is this ring on his finger?
What is this ring?
What is it? What's this? What's this? Da, 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 da. What's this?
No, stop. Oh. We're not. We did that movie.
Jack
we
Skellington.
Got it. We did that movie. We got it over with.
It's got over. It over with. That was a great discussion we had. That was years ago. On Finding Christ in Cinema. Oh, okay, he wore a ring on his finger. Where did this come from?
Let's find out.
I don't know if we will.
Forgive me. I'm going to try to do my best Christopher Lee.
Oh, boy.
This will be good.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, well, now if you say it like that, now I automatically feel threatened.
No, I meant it sincerely.
This will be good.
From the bottom of my heart.
Oh, man.
Oh, now I can't do it. There's pressure. Okay, hold on.
Oh, goodness.
Got to clear the old passages.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Neti Pot?
Yes. Anyway. So you have come, Gandalf. He said to me.
That was good.
Bravely. I actually surprised myself on that.
Though he doesn't know why.
I don't know why. He said to me gravely, but in his eyes there seemed to be a white light, as if a cold laughter was in his heart. Oh, wow.
Okay, foreboding.
Yeah, yeah.
The tension is rising.
Yes, I have come, I said. I have come here. I have come for your aid, Saruman the White. And that title seemed to
anger
him.
What?
Have you indeed, Gandalf the Grey? He scoffed. For what aid? For aid? It has seldom been heard of that Gandalf the Grey sought for aid, one so cunning and so wise, wandering about the lands, concerning himself in every business, whether it belongs to him or not.
What a snarky. Wow.
There's been a transformation here. There has been a transformation.
And that title, Saruman the White, seemed to anger him.
Mm-hmm. And this transformation is slowly being revealed.
Wow.
To Gandalf.
Is this done expertly?
I think so.
Yes.
I think so. I looked at him and wondered, but what if I'm not deceived, said I. But what if I'm not deceived,
But if I am not deceived.
Yeah.
Yes.
I looked at him and wondered. But if I am not deceived, said I, things are now moving which will require the union of all our strength.
Ah, and that ties into the comment made by patron Saint Michael Potter last week. The comments in that. Listeners, go back and listen to that. Talking about at this time
in
Middle-earth, it's taking unity. It's taking union.
Yeah.
And that's what Gandalf is trying to invite Saruman into.
Yeah. But he's got that little ring on.
Ah. And a cold white light in his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Laughter in his heart.
Yep.
That may be so, he said. But the thought is late in coming to you. How long, I wonder, have you concealed from me, the head of the council, a matter of greatest import? What brings you now from your lurking place in the Shire? The Nine have come forth again, I answered. They have crossed the river, so Radagast said to me. Radagast the Brown, laughed Saruman, and he no longer concealed his scorn.
Oh!
Radagast, the bird tamer. Radagast, the simple. Radagast, the fool. Yet he had just the wit to play the part that I set him. For you have come, and that was all purpose, and that was all the purpose of my message. And here you will stay Gandalf the Grey, and rest from journeys. For I am Saruman the Wise, Saruman the Ring Maker, Saruman of many colors. I looked then and saw that his robes, which had seemed white, were not so, but were woven of all colors. And if they moved, they shimmered and changed hue, so that the eye was bewildered. I liked white better.
He is no longer white.
No, he is not. I liked white better, I said. White, he sneered. It serves as a beginning. White cloth may be dyed. The white page can be overwritten, and the white light can be broken.
Mm.
In which case, it is no longer white, said I. And he that breaks a thing to find out what it is has left the path of wisdom.
Okay, stop. Okay, do you know... Okay, that's a famous quote.
That is a famous quote.
And I have I've tweeted out that quote many times. And,
me too.
And I have had a person, at least one person, respond with, well, that's not true, because in science, we break things in order to find out what they are. And I'm thinking to myself, correct me if I'm wrong. You missed the point. You missed the point of what's being said there. And... is it a, we're talking, that's a proverb. And proverbs are not always black and white, or this proverb applies 100% of the time.
Right.
That's not the
right.
point exactly. of a proverb, because there are many in the book of Proverbs where the writer will say one proverb, and then the next, very next proverb will seem to contradict that.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking... I mean, what are we talking? I mean, this is poetic prose. This is prophetic prose, right?
Yeah.
And this is in context here. So here we have Gandalf suddenly afraid, though I knew no reason for it. He has never made a greater mistake. You know, not going back to the Shire. And now here he is in this position where he's in fear. But he rides to the foot of Orthanc and comes to the stair of Saruman. And there he is met. He met me and led me to his high chamber. He wore a ring on his finger. Mm. That implies that that is something Gandalf has never seen on Saruman. Why would he point that out? He wore a ring on his finger. And then he gets this condescension, this contentious banter or rebuke from Saruman, Gandalf the Grey, after being called Saruman the White, which is who he was.
Mm-hmm.
But that title seemed to anger him. It has seldom been heard of that Gandalf the Grey sought for aid, one so cunning and so wise, wandering about the lands and concerning himself in every business, whether it belongs to him or not. Right? How about this? I am Saruman the Wise. I'm not Saruman the White. I'm beyond that. I'm Saruman the Wise. Saruman the Ring Maker. Yes, it is said of me that I am wise in the lore of the rings. I am wiser than you know, Gandalf the Grey. And your simpleton, your fool of a friend, Radagast the Brown. I am Saruman the Wise, Saruman the Ringmaker, Saruman of many colors. This... he has left the path of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
He is breaking things to find out what it is. You don't need to speak to me as one of the fools that you take for friends, said he. I have not brought you hither to be instructed by you, but to give you a choice. He drew himself up. Then... and began to declaim as if he were making a speech long rehearsed.
The elder days are gone. The middle days are passing, and the younger days are beginning. The time of the elves is over. But our time is at hand. The world of men, which we must rule.
Oh.
But we must have power. Power to order all things as we will. For that good which only the wise can see.
Oh my goodness. I gotta jump in here with a quote from Peter Kraft.
Do it.
Taken from his lecture. Lecture.
A lecture.
Yes, it's a lecture. It's not a lecture. It's not a seminar. I keep saying seminar. Where he is talking about, is God in The Lord of the Rings? He says, well, if you read the Silmarillion, the prequel of to The Lord of the Rings, Eru Iluvatar, the One, is in there on every page. There's the beginning, there's the creation story, all of these things. But what about in The Lord of the Rings?
But he is not named in The Lord of the Rings. How is he present? If someone were to ask you, who do you think is the most important character in The Lord of the Rings, you would probably say Frodo, maybe Gandalf, maybe Aragorn, maybe, if you were a little profounder, Sauron, who is The Lord of the Rings. I doubt if you'd say God. Tolkien did. A quote from his letters. In The Lord of the Rings, the conflict is not basically about power or freedom, though that is naturally involved. It is about God and his sole right to divine honor. If that quote surprises you, think for a moment. Why should it surprise you? Why else is it evil to play God by using the ring unless it is contrary to reality? That is, unless God is real and only God is God.
All right. Do you see how this ties in here? It's not just about power, but to Saruman it is. Saruman has fashioned his own ring in order for this quest. But we must have power. Power to order all things as we like. We need to create in our image, Gandalf. That's the choice that I am offering you. For that good which only the wise can see. Who's the wise? Well, he already said it. Saruman the wise. Mm-hmm. He has left the path of wisdom. He has left the light. And he is now wanting to wrestle with Eru Iluvatar, just as Morgoth did at the beginning, just as Sauron does with his fashioning of the ring, all the rings of power, but the one ring to rule them all, the power over all the others. That's what this story is about, is Eru Iluvatar's sole divine right to rule. And here we have these beings, and right now at the subject at hand is Saruman the Wise.
Mm-hmm.
We must have power. Power to order all things as we will. For that good which only the wise can see.
And listen, Gandalf, my old friend and helper, he said, coming near and speaking now in a softer voice. I said we. For we, it may be, if you will join with me. A new power is rising. Against it, the old allies and policies will not avail us at all. There is no hope left in the elves or dying Numenor. This, then, is one choice before you, before us. We may join with that power. It would be wise, Gandalf. There is hope that way. Its victory is at hand, and there will be rich reward for those that aided it. As the power grows, its proved friends will also grow, and the wise, such as you and I, may with patience come at last to direct its courses, to control it. We can bide our time. we can keep our thoughts in our hearts, deploring maybe evils done, by the way, but approving the high and ultimate purpose, knowledge, rule, order. All things that we have so far striven in vain to accomplish, hindered rather than helped by our weak and or idle friends. There need not be, there would not be, any real change in our designs, only in our means. Saruman, I said, I have heard speeches of this kind before, but only in the mouths of emissaries sent from Mordor to deceive the ignorant. I cannot think that you brought me so far, only to weary my ears. He looked at me sidelong, and paused a while, considering. Well, I see that this wise course does not commend itself to you, he said. Not yet. Not if some better way can be contrived. He came and laid his long hand on my arm. And why not, Gandalf? He whispered. Why not? The ruling ring, if we could command that, then the power would pass to us. That is, in truth, why I brought you here. For I have many eyes in my service, and I believe that you know where this precious thing now lies. Is it not so? Or why do the Nine ask for the Shire? And what is your business there? As he said this, a lust, which he could not conceal, shone suddenly in his eyes. Saruman, I said, standing away from him, only one hand at a time can wield the one, and you know that well. So do not trouble to say we. But I would not give it. Nay, I would not give even news of it to you, now that I learn your mind. You were head of the council, but you have unmasked yourself at last. Well, the choices are, it seems, to submit to Sauron or to yourself. I take neither.
Oh!
Have you others to offer?
This reminds me of that famous quote by Charles Spurgeon. Of two evils, choose neither.
Oh, yeah.
The lesser of two evils? No. Evil is evil. Choose neither. And that's what Gandalf says.
Mm-hmm. He was cold now and perilous. Yes, he
cold
said.
Cold and perilous. Mm-hmm. Man, those are great adjectives.
I did not expect you to show wisdom even in your own behalf, but I gave you the chance of aiding me willingly, so saving yourself so much pain and trouble. The third choice is to stay here until the end. Until what end? Until you reveal to me where the one may be found, I may find means to persuade you. Or until it is found in your despite, and the ruler has time to turn to lighter matters. To devise, say, a fitting reward for the hindrance and insolence of Gandalf the Grey. That may not prove to be one of the lighter matters, said I. He laughed at me, for my words were empty, and he knew it.
Wow. Until you reveal to me where the one may be found, I may find means to persuade you, or until it is found in your despite, and the ruler has time to turn to lighter matters, to devise, say, a fitting reward for the hindrance and insolence of Gandalf the Grey. This is, he was Saruman the White. He says he is Saruman the Wise, Saruman the Ringmaker, Saruman of many colors. Mm-hmm. I say, nay, you are Saruman the Fallen, a Maiar, an angelic being who has left his mission He's left it behind. Let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, oh, shall we, friends?
Better buckle up.
Out of the NASB. The, what'd you call it?
I said we better buckle
no,
up.
No, what'd you call the NASB?
Oh, the North American Slasher Bible.
Yes, that's when we were doing Halloween. And
as opposed to the new Living translation.
Yes.
Not the new Living Dead translation.
Now, of course, the Babylon Bee would call it, what would they call it? The nerdy something.
Oh, something I can't
Bible.
Remember.
I can't remember. Yeah. That was a great article. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil.
Choose neither.
How? Yes. But I love, we have heard this quoted to us who grew up in the church all of our lives. We've heard it from the pulpit. Abstain from every form of evil. Well, I'm not one to just let a word go by and not understand how Paul was using it nearly 2,000 years ago to a culture heavily influenced by the Hellenization of the world, the known world, right?
The Whoization?
He is talking to Greek-speaking people.
Oh, the Hellenistic. Yes. Hellenization.
Yes. Okay. All right. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. What does that mean? Says I. Well, I looked that up, and the Greek word being apecho is taken from two other words, and actively, so as an, because it's a verb, right? So as an active verb, it means to have out, or in other words, to receive in full. But intransitively, what's an intransitive verb? It's a verb that doesn't require a noun, like run.
Give an example.
Run.
Oh, like an imperative.
I don't know about that.
Well, if you're telling somebody to run, you know, you're telling them to do an action, but that sentence doesn't necessarily have a noun.
Okay.
It's an understood noun.
Yes.
Okay.
So intransitive. So intransitively, it means to keep oneself away. In other words, to be distant, literally or figuratively. But now you can look up this word even further, and it properly, it means, and I love this, this is out of the Helps word study, it means to have one thing by separating from or letting go of another. Listen to that. Abstain properly would be to mean to have one thing by separating from and letting go of another. So, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. And have another thing by separating from every form of evil. That same word is also used in Matthew chapter 14, 24. Just as Jesus is fixing to walk on water. Okay? Oh. And what happens is that the boat, this is chapter 14, verse 24 out of the NASB, but the boat was already a long distance, is that word. Abstain, distance. It's the same word. The boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Well, how is that the same? Okay, let's think in Greek terms. And I don't know, somebody correct me, and Brendan, you may know, I don't know if it, but I believe it was Plato who had a, his philosophy of like gravity would be, well, whereas Isaac Newton sees an apple fall from the tree, and he says there's an external force being exerted on the apple and pulling it to the center, right? Where Plato would say the apple longed to be united with the ground. Do you know what I'm talking about? Somebody out there has heard this, and I'm pretty sure it was Plato. That's why. So if something falls to the ground, or if a ball rolls down the hill, it's because it longed to be in another place.
Oh, well,
there
so you go.
That's Greek thought. Let's apply that to Matthew chapter 14, verse 24. But the boat was already... how would I do this? The boat was already having the open water by letting go of the dock. What's a boat? What's a boat made for? What's the purpose of a boat? Is to float in open water.
Sure.
And so when it is tied up to a dock, it's not doing what it was created to do.
Right.
And so in order to have the open water, it needs to let go of its mooring in order to have another thing. So you may not understand where I'm going with this, but the short definition is to have in full or am far or it is enough. So what Paul actually is saying, hold fast to that which is good by letting go of evil. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Stop doing evil so that you can have good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 is the famous passage here. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell, take inventory is the literal meaning of that Greek word. Take inventory on these things. Let go of the bad, the evil, so that you can take inventory, lay hold, dwell on the good. What Saruman has done is to let go of the good so that he can have the evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? Examine everything carefully, but hold fast to that which is good. He let go of that which is good. He is no longer walking in the light. He's walking in many colors.
Yeah.
Oh, there's many colors. And he is deep in the lore. He's deep in the lore of the ring. And to where Gandalf and the others of the White Council believed that that it was a good thing that he knew. Saruman has long studied the arts of the enemy himself, and thus we have often been able to forestall Sauron. But in the background, it was all leading to this, because now Saruman the Wise, Saruman the Ringmaker, Saruman of many colors, is seeking to take the place of God, of Eru Iluvatar, who has sole right, sole divine right to power. These are just some things that you can think about when you read that verse again in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Well, let's back up a little bit because the whole chapter of 1 Thessalonians 5, well, there's a whole segment that in the NASB is titled or subtitled Christian Conduct. We urge you, brethren, verse 14, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit, but do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. But you have to let go of your desire for power, Saruman. He was an angel. What did Gandalf say on the Bridge of Khazad-dûm to another Maiar or Maia? I am the servant of the secret fire. I will not leave my station. The two blue wizards, don't know what happened to them. Radagast the Brown, who is kind and honest and things, cares more about animals and
taming birds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gandalf alone. Wow.
Hmm.
Here I stand, I can do no other, right?
Hey, there you go.
Right?
There you go.
He is Gandalf the Wise because he's a servant and will not leave that commission Any thoughts, questions, feedbacks, editorials?
Yeah. Actually, I want to go back in the text just a little bit. It's Saruman who says, let's see. Okay, he says, there need not be, nor should there be, or would there be, any real change in our designs, only in our means. That really... I know it's really hard to have sympathy for Saruman right now, but I can see a little avenue for sympathy in that he's still, to him, as twisted and as warped as it is, he still wants to accomplish the same thing that the wizard set out to do in the first place, right? That's what he's saying.
Yes.
That's what he believes. Even though we as the audience, and especially Gandalf, knows that not to be true anymore. Because he has left the path of wisdom.
Yes, he has left it.
Okay. I just want to point out that that's a very good, solid, dramatic conflict in that that's often what a bad guy will say. That's often what a villain will say is that, look, I'm trying to do the same thing you are.
We're
trying to do the same thing.
Their objective.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the same objective, or they'll tell you that it's the same objective, but they're going at it with
a different tactic.
Yeah, a different means
to an end.
Exactly. And I think it's just very good. Again, very good dramatic conflict, because you've got one thematic force being represented by Gandalf, and another thematic force being represented by Saruman.
And look at the compassion of Gandalf, because he does try to pull him back.
Yeah.
And Saruman has the opposite. But we're going to find, and Micah, you know this, Micah's been awfully quiet this episode. We're going to follow this thread, just keep following it, because it's going to play out in a way that is, well, Gandalf is absolutely amazing. Micah, did you enjoy those extra scenes in the extended versions?
Yeah, I would have liked more of this dialogue in it, though. Didn't
I was going to say, I don't remember this in the film. This should have been in the film.
Mm. Right. Well, they did change, even the extended scenes, they changed it up quite a bit.
Yeah. Mm. The wording in this is excellent. Like, that phrase that you made a point of, my Lord of the Rings study for my schoolwork actually wanted me to give my thoughts on that, and, you know, I couldn't make much light of it, and I'm, here, let me... And I'm glad you shed some kind of light on it for me, because to me, I was like, I'm not really sure what he's saying there. You know, he has a completely different means. His means right now is, or not means,
objective.
Objective is to gain power.
Exactly.
not help anyone, but, and his means have completely changed, obviously, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't understand exactly what it meant.
And there, that exemplifies how he is now Saruman the Fallen.
Yeah. Yes. He's left the path of wisdom. He's left the light.
He fell off the path.
Yeah, exactly. I try to remember to do that. So I get in a conversation, I forget to do that.
I mean, this is meaty stuff. This is heavy, heavy stuff. Oh, yeah. So we have, about 9 minutes left in the show. Do you want to see how far we can go along here?
We're nearly to the end of this exchange, I think.
I think, yeah, let's finish out this. Let's do that. Let's finish out this scene between Saruman and Gandalf.
Oh, right.
Let's see. Okay. They took me and they set me alone on the pinnacle of Orthanc, and in the place where Saruman was accustomed to watch the stars. There was no descent save by a narrow stair of many thousand steps, and the valley below seemed far away. I looked on it and saw that, whereas it had once been green and fair, it was now filled with pits and forges.
That's what happens when you let go of the good in order to seek the bad.
Yeah, well, you find the bad.
That's what happens when you don't abstain from evil. Every form of evil.
Wolves and orcs were housed in Isengard, for Saruman was mustering a great force on his own account, in rivalry of Sauron and not in his service yet.
Oh, boy, he's fashioning himself his own rings,
yeah,
his own army.
Mm-hmm. Over all his works, a dark smoke hung and wrapped itself around the sides of Orthanc. I stood alone on an island in the clouds, and I had no chance of escape, and my days were bitter. I was pierced with cold, and I had but little room in which to pace to and fro, brooding on the coming of the riders to the north.
Mm.
That the Nine had arisen, that the Nine had indeed arisen, I felt assured, apart from the words of Saruman, which might be lies. Long ere I came to Isengard, I had heard tidings, by the way, that could not be mistaken. Fear was ever in my heart for my friends in the Shire, but still I had some hope.
I hoped
that Frodo had set forth at once, as my letter had urged, and that he had reached Rivendell before the deadly pursuit began. And both my fear and my hope proved ill-founded, for my hope was founded on a fat man in Bree, and my fear was founded on the cunning of Sauron. But fat men who sell ale have many calls to answer, and the power of Sauron is still less than fear makes it. But in the circle of Isengard, trapped alone, it was not easy to think that the hunters before whom all have fled or fallen would falter in the Shire far away. Let's cut it there.
All right.
Let's cut it there because we get Frodo next.
Frodo.
So let's just cut it there.
We'd say no more. We'd best get a move on. There are still goblins about.
Oh, bother. More mountains?
No. Don't you see? The sun is setting in the west, behind the mountains. We're on the other side, to the edge of the land beyond.
I like Gandalf is taken. He's of the light. He is holding on to that which is good. He is taking inventory of whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, take inventory of those things. But now he is taken out of commission and he's on top of Orthanc. He has barely enough room. He can't even pace to and fro in order to properly fret about the situation that he's in. He is pierced with cold and he's brooding on the coming of the riders to the north. I can't do anything now. I am like a rat in a trap.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually is Eru Iluvatar removing him temporarily from the situation so that he can go in and work.
Yeah.
And we have providence. And that's what we've read about every step of the way so far is the providence of Eru Iluvatar working in this adventure, this war of the ring.
Yeah.
Fantastic, Brendan. What are we going to... Well, let's ask the listeners out there what you found particular about this segment, this section of the Council of Elrond, Gandalf recounting his encounter with Radagast the Brown, leading him to Orthanc, to Saruman the Wise, Saruman the Ringmaker, Saruman of many colors, and being presented with this choice of join me as I work to deceive Sauron.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. Or I'm going to turn you over to him. Breaded. Fantastic stuff. What Christian themes did you find in this segment as well? Did you agree with any of the things that I brought up? Did you have other ones that you thought that other listeners would like to hear and may benefit from? We'll give you all the ways to contact us here in just a moment. But first of all, what is...
What on earth are these?
Replies to the party invitations.
Good gracious.
Yes, a reply to the party invitation. Real quick, just a short one from our brother Joseph Villafagne sent us this message via Twitter. You can follow him at Mr_Villafagne. And he says, hey, I've been slowly catching up with the podcasts. Hurricane Maria left Puerto Rico with no internet. So I'm behind schedule with the podcast. Love you all. Keep up the good work. Blessings. I had no idea that our brother and fellowship member, Joseph Villafagne, was in Puerto Rico.
Man.
I didn't know that. And my heart just breaks. Mm-hmm. You know, I immediately sent him a message. Hey, we hope that all of your loved ones are safe and that things are. I said, don't worry. We'll wait for you. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We will wait for you, brother. Our hearts, our prayers go out to you. And what a terrible, I mean, that hurricane wiped out the island. You know, when I was a young man, I had a job and I worked with one of my coworkers was from Puerto Rico. And I just loved him. I mean, he was kind of a rascal and stuff, but, you know, I loved him as a person. I love all of God's creatures and what have you. So I kind of feel, you know, it just breaks my heart and what's going on down there and all the things associated with it. But
yeah.
He was able to hop on the internet in order to send us a message. Thank you so much. And we'll see when we'll be here when you catch up. Anything else?
No, I think that's got it.
All right. All right. Well, what's coming up next time? Oh, hey, you know what? There was a little bit of movie news that I wanted to share. I don't know if you are aware of this, Brendan, at all, but they are making a Tolkien biopic.
What?
You know that, right? And it has begun filming in Northern England. So the planned biopic, this is from Den of Geek. Planned biopic of J.R.R. Tolkien, cunningly going by the name of Tolkien, has begun production. What's more, it's been shooting this week on location in the northwest of England. And I have been, this past week, I started reading, finally I got around to reading Tolkien and the Great War. And so I am now wholly on board, cannot wait. They have, they just cast an actor as Christopher Wiseman, which was Tolkien's best friend growing up. I mean, they were like 12 years old when they were when they met up with each other. And I can't remember exactly what they called themselves, but they were it was a reference to Remus and Romulus, the twin sons.
Oh, yeah.
Just great stuff. So I'm looking forward to this. Anybody, if you haven't read that book yet, read it. Excellent stuff. You looking forward to that movie? You like biopics, huh, Brendan?
Yeah, they're all right. If they're done well.
Oh, well, of course.
Let's be honest. Well. I mean, let's be honest.
Nobody likes a bad biopic.
No.
No. Anything else, guys? Micah?
Nah.
Well, just a shout out to our friends in the chat room. Chat room's a little lively.
Oh, good.
So.
Hey.
Hey, and welcome.
Some action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
So next week, Brendan, we're going to pick up right where we left off.
Yeah, part 7.
And see just how, what, like, where did the moth come from that Gandalf used to go and signal to alert Gwaihir, Great Eagle.
Where did it come
yeah,
from?
Yeah, where did
Peter
that?
Peter Jackson, obviously.
Well said. Okay, everybody, let's go ahead and get out of here. Blah, 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 blah. The Secret Fire Podcast is live each Saturday, Lord willing, at about 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the Great Commission Transmission Network studio. You can join us for live video on our Twitch page at twitch.tv/Secret Fire Podcast.
You can join us on the Arkenstone server in Lord of Rings Online at lotro.com, and you can support the GCT network on Patreon, at patreon.com/GCTN.
To find out more about the Secret Fire Podcast, as well as our other shows, including Finding Christ in Cinema and The Theonauts, visit our main website at gctnetwork.com.
You can send us an email at secretfire@gctnetwork.com, or you can call us up on the Hobbit Hotline at 507-407-GCTN. That's 507-407-4286, and leave us a voicemail. You can follow us on Twitter, @SecretFireCast, or you could just listen to the good old podcast, which I assume you're doing right now. You can do so at iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatcher by searching them all for the Secret Fire Podcast.
Our theme song, Hobbit's Dance, is from the album Memories of Middle-earth by Brobdignagian Bards. Find out more about them and buy music on their website at thebards.net. And until next time, we regret to tell you...
that this is the end. I'm going away. I'm leaving. Now. Goodbye.
Goodbye!
Bye.
Goodbye!
It was tied to Orthanc.
Oh, you know what? I think the present, the gift that we give the listeners of the podcast when we do cover, when we finish this chapter...
Yes.
...should be... the goat and the anvil joke.
I don't think we'll ever...
Just an entire episode to that?
No. Just when we finish this chapter.
We're never going to finish this chapter, so I feel pretty good and safe and secure in granting that wish.
Oh, good. Good. Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We'll let the listeners decide.
Hey, that's all right.
Tuned in to the GCT Network. This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission at GCTnetwork.com. This is your Great Commission transmission.
Like this? This? Like this? This?
Yeah, but turn it not that far. Yeah, about like that. Okay. Yes. And remember, about a hand span away from the mic at all times. There we go.
Oh, goodness, look at that.
What are you doing?
Oh, man.
No.
Being antagonistic, and I shouldn't do that.
You make me sad.
Sorry.
You make me sad. Brave knight.
Wait, what?
Well, that's what King Arthur says to the Black Knight when he won't answer him.
Oh.
You make me sad.